Today is January 16th, and my name is Yoel David Zephron. I welcome myself back to the First Seder, this First Seder program, and I've been looking forward to resuming. It's been a while, but hopefully we'll get right back into it. We are up to the fifth mitzvah in the Torah, the mitzvah of shechting the Pesach. There are a few mitzvahs here that are going to be related to Pesach. It's very appropriate for this time of year, where we're up to these parshas in the Torah. And the mitzvah that we have here, as in your handout, page number 13, the first reference there is from the Rambam, but the pasuk on the heading is V'shachtu Eisei Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael Ben Arboim. All of the Jewish people should shecht it bein ho'arboyim in the evening, in the afternoon. So the mitzvah of shechting the Korban Pesach has several things that we really need to discuss. First of all, why was it specifically a tle? Why did Hashem say take a sheep?
That's the Mitzrayim are working.
Oh, okay. And why is it specifically in the evening or afternoon, late afternoon? Why is it? Why does it say Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael? All of the Jewish people, every person should shecht the Pesach. What's going on here? So there's much to talk about. So first is a quote from the Rambam. Again, as we always say, there's no, it's not necessary to follow in the source sheet, although it is helpful. So if you lose your place, or if you prefer an English translation, I apologize, we don't have that, but you'll be able to understand things from the Shir as well. But let's follow inside from the Rambam, which is in the Mor Nevuchim, and he says the following. As Unklus explains in the Torah, the Mitzrayim they served the mazel, the celestial sign of the tle, of the sheep, and that's because it was the first of the mazolis of the calendar, the first of the signs of the calendar, the zodiac signs. And it had a certain strength over the others. And being that they were pagans, they believed in many, many different sorts of gods. Paro was a god, the Nile was a god, etc., etc. They believed in serving the this sort of animal. Therefore, they forbade people to shecht all sorts of tzayin. These smaller animals, sheep, goat, etc. Not only that, they actually, it was repulsive to them, the people who were shepherds of Tzayin, and that's why when Yosef brought his brothers in front of Paro, he told them that they, you know, in order to be make sure that they were segregated from the rest of the population, so that they shouldn't, his ulterior motive was that they shouldn't be influenced by the Mitzrayim, which were very, very, it was a very, very powerful evil influence. And he understood that, he anticipated that, so he told them to say that we are Raya Tzayin, that we are the shepherds of Tzayin, in order that they shouldn't be, that you know, Parah should distance them from the rest of the population because it would be too sensitive to them. So, Omer, hey, Nizbach has Teyavas Mitzrayim. That's what Klal Yisrael said. We're going to shecht the Teyavas Mitzrayim. When Hashem gave this commandment, we're going to shecht the Teyava of Mitzrayim, which means it would be te'eva to Mitzrayim, it would be abomination to Mitzrayim for us to shecht. V'cheino yekitais minatzava evdim l'sheidim v'yuchayshvim shehem yashuvu b'tzura se'izim. They would worship sheidim, all sorts of demons, that, and they felt that they would actually reincarnate and appear in this world in the form of goats or the like. Therefore, they would call the Shadim, the demons, they would call them Seirim. They would call them goats. Now, interestingly, there's a pasuk in Achrei Mos, in Vayikra, that says, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin. The Rambam will quote it shortly. The Pasuk says, the Pesukim are speaking about doing the service of offerings to Hashem, specifically in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. And the Pasuk says, V'lo yizbechu oid ezivcheyem la'si'irim asher heim zaynim achareyem. They will no longer, the Jewish people should bring, the Pesukim before said they should bring all their services, their offerings to the Pesach El Mayed. And they will no longer serve the Seirim that they follow after. Now, this is somewhat of a cryptic pasuk, because the literal meaning of Seirim is like goats. And yet, like we have on Yom Kippur, right? But yet the translation, as an example here, which we'll see, it follows Rashi, it follows Chazal, the translation in the art scroll to the word Seirim is demons. Yes. So you have the Pasuk saying they shall no longer follow after, serve up Seirim, which they follow after. And Rashi says, Seirim, Lashedim, to the demons, which is how they translate. I don't know what the yeah, it's a Russian tevis. I'm not sure what that is. It means the goyim.
So these goats were demons. Or the,
No. There were people who worshipped demons that felt that they would reincarnate in the form of, or appear at least in the form of, goats. And we know that, by the way, in the story of Sheol and the Amalekim, they appeared in the form of animals. The Amalekim themselves, with sorcery, disguised themselves as goats. Yeah. Yeah, let's we'll leave that story for now. But the point is, yeah, so here in this pasuk in Achremos, the Rambam will use this as a pasuk to show that the Jewish people, in order to teach the Jewish people, to condition them not to follow after these ways, that's what the verse here is talking about. The Rambam, when he first begins, he says the Mitzrayim were the ones who worshipped this kind of thing, and that was the influence on the Jewish people. So Hashem specifically commanded us to take this seir, to take a sheep, to take that form of animal, from that class of animal, in order that we should teach ourselves to uproot this mistaken ideology from our minds. Okay, so, yeah. So the Mitzrayim were doing it, but no doubt that influenced the Jewish people. Okay, and in fact, I just said over Shabbos, I spoke downstairs at the Shalashudis, when Hashem tells Moshe to tell the Jewish people that he's going to redeem them, he says, Ani Hashem, like three times. Tell them, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem. And there's many other reasons why he says this, but there's a sefer, Be'er Yosef, from Rabbi Yosef Salant. He says that the message that Hashem was giving was that the Jewish people, it's very nice, you want to be redeemed, that's great, but you have to deserve it. So we know Hashem gave them two mitzvahs. One was Dam Pesach and one was Dam Mila. Yeah? But the underlying message, the way he says it, is that the Jewish people had to cleanse themselves of Avodah Zarah, of idol worship. That's why Hashem said Ani Hashem three times. He has many other proofs. Beautiful, beautiful piece, if you ever have a chance, the Sefer Be'er Yosef. But the main point being that the Jewish people here, what the greatest influence of Mitzrayim on them was pertaining to Avodah Zarah. So one of the important mitzvahs, as we'll see a little later, one of the important mitzvahs that Hashem gave us was, right, it says, we say this in the Haggadah, that Va'at Eirayim Ve'eriyah, you were naked, which Chazal tell us mean we were naked of mitzvahs, we had no merits by which to leave Mitzrayim. So Hashem gave us these two mitzvahs. Now, Pesach, very nice, you take an animal, you shecht, you sprinkle the blood on your door. I mean, like, is that so difficult? I mean, come on. But the idea here the Rambam is telling us is a lot deeper. It actually was there to thwart and to undermine the entire influence of Mitzrayim, which was a very paganistic, just made up that word if it exists, ideology, which is that there's no one deity and Hashem is in control of everything, etc. And that's what Pari kept on saying. Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Kaylei. I have millions of gods. Right? Like Mark Twain said about quitting smoking. He said, it's easy. I did it 1,000 times. You know, Paro says, you have a god. Very nice. You're bringing coal to Newcastle. Right? When Moshe started doing these Nisim, so he said, look, I have Hashem that's controlling. He says, you're bringing that into Mitzrayim. You know, we're full of kishuv. We're full of, but that's basically the manipulation of all these and the servitude of all these different mazoles and koyches in the world. By the way, the mazoles, the Rambam speaks about it, the Ramban, so many of the Mefarshim speak about it. The mazoles, the zodiac signs, there is something to it. The Rebbein Shalom invests those mazoles, those signs, with certain koyches, with certain powers. But the mistake that's made is that the people who serve them believe that that's the end all. That those are the, if somehow you can get one god to fight against the other or whatever, without recognizing that there is an almighty on top of all those powers, that's what Avodah Zarah is about. The lack of recognition, usually it's a biased decision based on, you know, if you're a pagan, it's great, because if you somehow have a way to manipulate one god over the other, then you can do whatever you want and just make sure that your god protects you by serving it, whatever. But you don't have to listen to any one god over the other, right? But but if there's a Rabbeinu Shalom, then you have to have a conscience, you have to behave yourself. Who wants to do that, right? Yes?
I just want to play devil's advocate for a second.
No pun intended, yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Any different than some of our Hokkien, even, you know, that are just out there, you know, they're just they don't make sense. Why do we do the things that we do? Because we're told to do it. And then, you know, the Hashem is saying, don't believe in this one. Everybody believes in, or there are people in Mitzrayim that say, don't eat this animal because you can come back with a demon.
Well, we're gonna see that Hashem displayed once and for all in Mitzrayim, deliberately and very carefully and very systematically, he displayed for all to see that he was in charge of every one of the powers that others believed in. Now, it's not that those powers don't exist. He invested the sun with the power that if the sun was a little too close to us, we'll burn up, and too far from us, etc. Those powers are there, they exist, and no one's denying that. The question is there an almighty controlling it from above that? So, I'll give you one example, right? I mentioned before that Hashem says to do the Pesach Bein Ho'arboyim in the afternoon as the day is starting to set. In the second column here, we'll just skip to... got to remember where this was. Yeah, I forget where this was, but one of the sources we'll soon see explains why. Ah, here it is. There we go. Yes, thank you, Doc. Maybe you should give the share. Look at number 4 on the left column. I forgot to underline those words. The first word on the line is lochein. So if you could follow here in the sheet, lochein by number 4 there. Lochein tziva Hashem Yisbarach. This column is a quote from the Sefer Noyam HaMitzvahs, which explains reasons behind different aspects of the mitzvah. And here he says, we're jumping ahead, but only because you asked this question, but it's very poignant here. Lochein tziva Hashem Yisbarach lishchedes haPesach b'ino arbay. Specifically, Hashem demanded of us that we shecht it in the evening time, or really late afternoon. Why? Lerameis, to hint to us. Ki af sheyikdiru ha-shamayim be'ovim al-shemesh ha-hatzlacha shel ha-klal Yisrael. Even if the skies will darken with clouds, etc., and it would seem that the time of Hatzlacha, the time of success for the Jewish people, this is symbolic. This is not just literal, right? This is symbolic. Bein Arbaim is to describe a situation of where it would seem that the Jewish people are in a time where the, like, figuratively, the sun is not shining on them. It's not their time, right? And it's dark for them. B'chol zayis lo yisayish. Do not give up hope. V'yizkru haftachas Hashem yizbaruch she'omar. And he should remember the guarantee that Hashem gave us in the pasuk v'af gam zayis b'yisem b'eretz avim. Even at a time when you are in the lands of the enemies, loymastim, loygealtim, lachalaisim, it keeps on going, the pasuk, I will not forsake them entirely. Lahafer brisi itam, to forsake my covenant with them, which, by the way, speaks, it's the words of the Navi, speaks directly to refute the Christians who give us all sorts of distorted quotes about the fact that Hashem has a new covenant and he's got a new thing, and he gave up on the Jewish people because they become evil, or they're the root of evil, whatever. I don't know exactly what they believe, but whatever the case is, here's a beautiful pasuk that says that no matter what, even if you're in the distant lands, and even if you're, I will not forsake you and will not dissolve the bris that I made. Now, Hashem doesn't, right, and if he says that, I will not forsake you and will not dissolve the covenant. Yes, Neil.
Israel sacrifice a lamb, which was an object of idolatry of the Egyptians, showing that, in fact, that will show defiance of the Egyptians, and who were very hostile at the idea that here is Hashem is exercising Shemira over Klal Yisrael.
Yes, we'll get to all these ideas. Absolutely, absolutely. But I wanted to show one aspect here, and that is, for instance, Hashem says specifically do it in the afternoon. Why? To send us this message. That whatever happened in Mitzrayim, Hashem displayed once and for all, as we'll soon see, different details, different aspects of it, that Hashem displayed as he is in charge of every one of the keches, of the powers that others believed in. Whether it be the sun, whether it be the water, whether it be... First he attacked the Egyptians' immediate gods, right? So, for instance, the Nile was one of their, or Paro himself, right? He displayed that he was in charge of everything. Yes? In fact, the Rebbeinu Shlom says at one point, "Eis Asher is halalti b'Mitzrayim." I what's a good word for that? Is halalti means I played around with them. I made light of them. I scorned them. What does it mean? He scorned them. They believed in different powers, and Hashem systematically took each one and showed how he's in charge of those powers. Now, when he was done, there was nothing left for them to believe other than Hashem himself. Okay, if you look at the Makos, if you look at the plagues that were in Mitzrayim, look at all the other plagues that were surrounding the major plagues, there were minor plagues and all sorts of other things going on in Mitzrayim, as we mentioned in the Haggadah, that was the purpose. The purpose was to show that Hashem is in charge and in control of every power that we see in the world. So you asked the question, why is this better than... Right. Go ahead.
I was so sure that you were even going to get what I was saying you were going to get. And you got it.
Okay.
And you answered it.
Right. Do you have a...
This is really palatable.
What's that?
It's palatable to me, of course. But if I was asking as a non-believer, if I was asking as a Christian, I don't think that I would go...
Well, as a Christian, you would ask... Well, Christians believe in the Old Testament. But let's say somebody who was a non-believer in the Old Testament would say... Your answer to me is that Hashem showed in Mitzrayim. Well, who said Mitzrayim ever happened? Who said Mitzrayim ever happened? Okay, so that's a separate question. That's a separate discussion. That's a separate discussion. Well, there's no question. Right. There's no question that a very large part of the bedrock of our belief is in our Mesorah, and that you find throughout the. But in as much as you are, just to deal with Christians themselves, in as much as you believe in the Old Testament, you cannot then turn around and say, well, you guys messed up, and now it's us. You know, it's very nice. I'm just showing you here, you know, you have a... And as much as you believe in Mitzrayim and you believe in the, you know, I said over the story, not at this year, but I said over the story recently, I actually repeated what the fellow, there was the museum that came here, the curator of the museum, the director, the Living Torah Museum, Rabbi Scholl Deutsch. He came here and he has literally millions of dollars of artifacts in his Living Torah Museum. The name Living Torah is the purpose of his museum is to bring to life the Torah by way of artifacts. His line at the end when he left was the reason why he invests so much energy and time and money into this is because he believes that if you touch history, history will touch you. But that's the mission of his museum. Fascinatingly, he told us that about 10 years ago there was an archaeologist who's still alive today. He said over the name, he was the last remaining. He's the last living archaeologist that was there when they discovered King Tut's tomb, when they uncovered it. And it seems like at that point they didn't recognize the financial value of the artifacts that were there. They were just doing it for the historical value. So they would find several of the identical artifact, but some were in better condition, some were worse. They would take one or two and leave the rest. What was the point? He was smart. He wanted to have one for himself. So he ended up, wherever he went, he ended up with a very large, very, very large and also valuable collection of artifacts. And when he was about 85, he sent a letter to this Rabbi Deutsch, who had been in contact with him over, you know, several different issues. He might have actually even visited the museum. And he sent him a letter saying that he is going to donate his collection worth several million dollars entirely to the Living Torah Museum. Why am I telling you this story? Because he said, Rabbi Deutsch, you know, waited till he thanked him and so on. Everything came into the museum. And then he called him up to thank him. And he said, just out of curiosity, what do they say? Don't taunt the crocodile till you cross the river. You ever hear that expression? Right. So he called him up after everything reached his museum, and he said, you know, just out of curiosity, like what? He said, you are, to my knowledge, the only museum in the world that is dedicated to proving the veracity of the Old Testament. So my point is, Adam, when you're dealing with a Christian, a non-believer in the Old Testament, etc., it's an entirely different story. But you're dealing with a Christian who believes in the Old Testament. Well, the fallacy, the contradiction in believing in it, but yet believing that there's something beyond that, is ridiculous. But in as much as you do believe that Hashem did all these miracles in Mitzrayim, that what Hashem was accomplishing was specifically to uproot from within the Jewish people, and also to teach the Mitzrayim and everybody else in the world that Hashem and by the way, the Ramban also says that Hashem doesn't do this. There's a Ramban in Vayikra, very fundamental Ramban, and very important to keep this in mind. He says there are many mitzvot in the Torah that the reasoning behind the mitzvot is Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim, in order that we should remember Mitzrayim. The Ramban there says, in Vayikra, he says, by the way, you should know that he stops in the middle of his discussion of the particular mitzvah that he's talking about there, and he says, I'll tell you something very important about Yetzias Mitzrayim. He said, it's not every day that Hashem is going to perform these miracles for you and I. Right? He performed it once and for all for the people that lived then, proved it once and for all, and then gave us mitzvot to prolong them, to commemorate them, to relive them, so that we instill this in the hearts of ourselves and our children and subsequent generations. That's part of the mitzvah of Mitzrayim. Till this very day, we're sitting and telling over this story to the next generation, to ourselves and the next generation, on the night of the Seder. Yes, that's one of the things that's so crucial. So that's why there's so many mitzvahs that say Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. The point is, let's say Shabbos. Shabbos is Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. How is Shabbos Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim? We say it during Kiddush. How is Shabbos Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim? The answer is very simple. If in fact Hashem taught us by way of Yetzias Mitzrayim that He is in control of every power, everything that exists in the world, well, that plays hand in hand. That's in a partnership with the fact that he created the world. You can only be in control of everything if you're the one that brought it, right, into the world. Not only, but in this case, he could be in control because he brought everything into the world itself. So I want to go over my time here. We do have a couple more minutes. If anybody has to leave, please, I won't be insulted. But the point is, what the Rambam is bringing out here is that the deepest mistaken belief of the Mitzrayim was that there were powers that that they could manipulate, and they can get along fine. They don't have to. There is no God above everything, an all-powerful God. And so, the point of this, especially, he took the lamb, because this is one of the things that they served, and we'll see soon. The reason why they served the lamb is because that was the first mazel. It's the first zodiac sign, and in some ways the most powerful. That's why it's the first one in the calendar, etc. And Hashem was saying, the Mitzrayim were worshiping the mazel of the. Of the sheep, right? Of the lamb, yes? So it was their time, yeah? It was their time. They were totally in control of us. They were beating us. They had us beaten down to almost nothing. The morale was horrible. They had influenced us so spiritually, physically. I mean, we were just, it was, if we talk about sunset, like that would be the greatest way to describe the position that the Bnei Yisrael were in. And yet what happened? Kasher yeast. What does it say about Mitzrayim? It says as a mother gives birth to a child. That's how Hashem extracted us. We were so part and parcel of Mitzrayim. We were just like so entrenched that we were almost like we were like one entity. And yet we were emerged from Mitzrayim, separated from Mitzrayim at a time that was against all odds. That's the message of Mitzrayim. So. Just in answer to Adam's question, the point of all this is to show, no, at the time that you think that you're the least in control, that you're the least, that you have the least chance, the least odds of getting out, being that Hashem is in control, it's irrelevant what it looks like in the physical world at this point, and even in the celestial world, it's irrelevant because I'm all powerful, and therefore Hashem says I was able to take you out at a time. Where Yisrael is lamaylo min amazalis, you're above all mazel. So he took specifically the deity of the Mitzrayim, the Nile and Parai and the lamb to show that all these things wonderful. It's irrelevant because I'm above it all. Yes. Well, they're both true. They're both absolutely true. Absolutely true. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Hashem says it all the time about Mitzrayim. Yodu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem. That Hashem says all the time that it's for the nations of the world as well. Okay, so let's just yes. Good, good. And I'm sure you'll find many of them if you analyze all the Makos. It's all that way. Each one represented some sort of deity that they worship. Okay, but let's just finish a few more words and then we'll let you go. Fine. Ah, and then he brings down the pasuk. This is very. It became widespread. This understanding that the demons, the worship of the demons, and that's why it says, "Well, yizbuchu oid azivchem lasiirim hashem zayivchem." That's the pasuk we quoted. That's why these groups, the goyim, the mitzriim, other positions, other people, used to forbid the eating of sheep and lamb. But the shechting of cattle, kimachahu mayasim oisai roiv oiv devadizar. The sheep and the lamb that the goats, that was only specific groups. He says this: the slaughtering of cattle, that was almost all of Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah worshippers were forbade that. The kulam hayu magdilam zehamin ma'id, and many of them would raise these this type of animal, the cattle. V'lozeh timtza, and therefore you will find, the Rambam is saying this in his day, right, over 1,000 years ago. Anshe haydu, the people of India, ad hayoim lo yishchetu abach haklal, they will not shecht, and that exists until today, is that right? They're still, right. They won't even, right?
Say squirrels here?
In English, the reference, so sacred cow means something you can't criticize.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay, so v'afilu ba'artzeis asher yishchetu shar minei bali chayim, even in places where they do shecht other animals, they will not allow the shechting of a cow. U'ba'avur, I'll just quote these words and then we'll stop. U'ba'avur sheyimcha zecher elu adeis, and in order to uproot, to blot out these ideas, asher einam amitias, they're very distorted. Tzivonu lahakriv elu asher shamina mavad. That's why Hashem, when He commands us to bring offerings, He asks us specifically to bring from these three minim: min habehema, min habokar, min hatzayin. From cattle, from animals, and from sheep and takrivas karban chaim. Why? In order, the purpose is to uproot this mistaken understanding of the existence of the world and people. You mean behema, bakar, tzayin. Well, there's two problems. Number one, it's somewhat redundant. Number two is we're missing one, and that's birds. I guess he means of the four-legged animals that Hashem commanded us to. Now, why he says behema, I'm not sure why he uses the word behema. It should say bakar and tzayin. You are correct. I don't know what the answer is to that, but we're running out of time. If you have a good answer, I'm open to suggestions.
I only have questions. You're not getting any answers from me.
Questions are great. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll meet tomorrow.